was one of discussions I had with our mayor, Jim Watson, who is actually on the phone right now. Mr. Mayor, good morning. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, my pleasure, Leslie. Thank you.
I'll get to the whole drive-in assessment center that's opening today. But first, I'm curious. You told me, I remember last time we had this conversation before we shut down the studio, about the Sir John A. Macdonald statue. And it was basically, you're saying it's not going anywhere. Given the way things have changed, do we at least, if it's not moving, do we make an acknowledgement so what happened in Montreal doesn't happen here, even though it's on NCC territory?
Yeah, I think that's the more sensible approach. You know, tearing down and vandalizing a statue, is sort of a one-hit wonder. You get a burst of publicity, and then the issue is, you know, gone until the next statue is attacked. And I think, you know, if anything, a plaque that talks about, you know, the good things Sir John A. did and the bad things that he did with respect to the residential school system, I think that's more of a learning moment for the public, as opposed to defacing a statue and not, you know, people going by and not knowing why it was defaced.
Yeah. One of the criticisms of those who were in favor of pulling down the statue, there are very few people, but they did it, of course, in Montreal, is that there's been no action, no proactive action on the part of the politicians. I'm wondering, would you be willing to make the move and suggest that this plaque go up to prevent something like that from happening here and show good faith?
Yeah, look at, you know, there are only so many hours in the day, Leslie, and I don't want to sort of say, yeah, I'm going to look into this. I have enough on my plate. It's not on our land. It's on Parliament Hill. I would encourage, you know, the federal government to look at doing something like that. I'm not trying to pass the buck, but I've got enough going on with COVID and dealing with our budgetary challenges to take on an issue that, you know, quite frankly, I don't have the jurisdiction to control.
Fair enough. All right, let's talk about what you can. First and foremost, the drive-through assessment center. It's interesting because it's by appointment only. You have to actually go on the website. And we've had some calls here from people, seniors in particular, who don't have access to the internet. They're worried. They're saying, why can't people call in?
Well, I guess what we're trying to do is to minimize staff and maximize the output to get as many people through the system as possible. And I think, you know, every senior I know has a grandson or granddaughter or son or daughter that can help them with the logging onto the computer.
Okay.
And I think, you know, what we tried to do, I just literally came back from the site. It's very well laid out. It's at the baseball stadium on Coventry Road, and it's open from 11:30 to 6:30, 7 days a week. And you do have to, as you pointed out, go to ottawapublichealth.ca to register. It was fully booked today, starting at 11:30 till 6:30, and I believe tomorrow as well, and then they open it up for the next day and on a rolling basis. So they'll start off with a maximum of 350 cars or passengers per day. And hopefully as they get more comfortable with the setup and the lines and the testing and so on, they'll be able to up that number significantly.
Who should go? I mean, if you just want to get tested because you suspect or you've got an event with the family coming up and there could be somebody with a problem with your immune system, I mean, will everybody be accepted or some turned away for not a good enough reason?
Yeah, no one will be turned away, and again, there's advice on the Ottawa Public Health site. You know, obviously, if you feel that you have some symptoms, you should go and get tested. But, you know, no one will be turned away. And I think all of the reasons you just listed, if you have a family gathering and so on, that's where we're finding the vast majority of cases are these family gatherings, private gatherings. You know, interestingly, not out of the restaurant, bar, or gym system, as Dr. Etches said a few days ago. There have been no cases traced back to those, but there have been plenty of cases traced back to people having, you know, a party with 20 or 30 people in the backyard. And that's why we had a pretty aggressive campaign that we launched a few days ago, directed towards college and university students. You know, we all remember the good times at Frosh Week and so on. Well, this is a different year, and you can't have that, you know, 300 of your closest friends over for a keg party on Sunnyside Avenue or Russell Road near Ottawa U. This is not the year to do that, because look what happened at the University of Alabama. You know, they had a tailgate party, thousands of people, 500 tested positive with COVID-19. That motorcycle rally, I think it was in I remember Iowa or some state,
yeah.
And they're tracing, you know, hundreds of COVID cases to that motorcycle rally. You know, people have to realize this is a completely different year than any other year, and we've got to treat it accordingly, or we're not going to beat COVID as quickly as we'd like to.
On top of the university, you've got the other kids, of course, at the other levels of education going back, and it's also going to be a pretty nice long weekend. Are you nervous ahead of, because we know what happens in long weekends. There are sometimes, well, at least concern about a spike.
Yeah, you know, we certainly saw that in the U.S. after the Memorial Day weekend and the 4th of July. We have not seen that here in Ottawa, which is good. I think we've had a few incidences at Mooney's Bay where there were just too many people, and police and bylaw certainly work to solve that issue and remind people to be responsible and socially distance themselves. So, I'm a long weekend. A lot of it depends on the weather, I suppose. I'm not sure there'll be as many people at the beaches. You know, the weather's starting to get a little colder. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're just here not to sound like a broken record, but to remind people that they have it in their hands and their power to control this virus. And if they do the simple things like washing your hands many times during the day, you know, practicing physical distancing, wearing a mask, you know, I've been very, very pleased with the compliance. You know, I met a gentleman just this morning who lives in an apartment who was very grateful we passed the bylaw that it requires people in common areas of an apartment or condo or the elevators to wear a mask, because he was feeling threatened by people coming in and, you know, sneezing and potentially spreading the virus to him.
Are you going to step up patrols this weekend? Do you think it's necessary?
Yeah, bylaw and police are stepping them up, primarily in and around the universities, because that's where the potential for, you know, these big parties can start off as maybe 10 or 20 people. With social media and Facebook and Instagram, that guest list can grow pretty quickly, and that's what we don't want to have happen. And they'll use education, but at the end of the day, if the party continues, the police have and bylaw have the ability to fine someone up to $1,000. So it's a pretty harsh lesson for a student hosting a keg party, that's for sure.
We know patio season's about to come to the end. Winter is just around the corner, and you've come up with some potential ways to help the businesses that are worried because once patio season ends, that, for example, the revenues are going to go down.
Yeah, there's no question about that. The patios have been a lifeline for a lot of the restaurants and bars, and that's why we've been working with them and the BIAs, the business improvement areas, to see what we can do to extend the patio season to what's called shoulder season, allowing fire pits or these propane heaters that you see sometimes in October and November. Also in the winter months to enhance the snow clearing in front of businesses that have curbside pickup and so on. And a number of other ideas that we'll be presenting to council in the next couple of weeks. We've been working really hard with the mayor's task force on economic partnership and getting a lot of good ideas on how we can make life a little easier for these businesses, because you're quite right, Leslie. You know, there's still a little bit of reluctance for people to go inside a restaurant, and notwithstanding the fact that they've made all the provisions, you know, cut the number of tables in half, for instance. You know, the patio season will end, and we need to continue to support these local restaurants and businesses and get in their stores and shops and support them, particularly as people start, you know, thinking of Christmas shopping. You know, maybe this is the year to shop local instead of going on to some of the online platforms, just so that, you know, I said to a group the other day, you know, it's the mom and pop shops that will give you that gift basket for a charity fundraiser at your kid's school. It's the mom and pop shops that will sponsor your little league team in the glebe, not the big companies like Amazon. And we need to make sure that these small businesses, which are the lifeline of our economy, survive. Because I was down on Bank Street in the glebe the other day, and on Westboro and on Richmond Road. There are just too many empty storefronts that have been victims of COVID-19, and we want to make sure that we turn that around. Mm-hmm. Our unemployment rate, you know, is about 9%, which is lower than the national average, but it's still far too high.
And just to get it on the record, you feel perfectly safe going to eat indoors in a restaurant in Ottawa?
Absolutely, yep. Yeah. I've been to four or five restaurants in the last month, and very good service, physically distancing from other tables. All the staff wearing their masks, hand cleaner at the front door. I feel very safe.
All right, last question, because I know you got to go, but it concerns the housing market. Record numbers, 22% year over year when it comes to single family homes, and also 24% for condos. I think the average single family home is now just shy of $600,000 in the city of Ottawa. One of the things, and a lot of people are sort of saying this, you know, this is blowing up fast, is that because the prices in Toronto, Vancouver, Montreal have been so high for so long that there are foreign buyers now coming in and moving in on our area as well. Are you finding that?
No, I'm finding actually what, and this is just anecdotally, in the last 2 months I've met three or four different couples who have moved here from Toronto. They sold their house $1 million and they can come and invest $600,000 and get a really nice house here, a better quality of living, I would suggest, than Toronto. No disrespect to Toronto. You know, the housing prices, while they're going up, they're still significantly lower than Vancouver or Toronto. So, you know, people are seeing the quality of life. You know, Money Sense magazine listed us as the best city to live in for 2 years in a row. And one of the attributes was, you know, green space. You can be, you know, skiing in the Gatineau Hills 20 minutes from downtown Ottawa. And so, you know, couples and individuals, I think, are looking at retiring in a city like Ottawa because it's much more affordable, and they can, you know, as I said, sell their house for $1 million, get a house here for $600,000 or $700,000, mm-hmm. and put the other $300,000 in the bank for their retirement.
One of the issues for the other two cities were foreign buyers. That's why I brought it up. And they put in a foreign buyer's tax, which would mean somebody from Asia who's coming here and sees the great deal, buys a house, and then there's an additional tax because they're a foreign buyer. If it gets worse here, and you see that there are more and more people coming from abroad, would you consider that?
Yeah, I'd certainly look at it. We wouldn't have the authority to do it ourselves. We'd need the province to do it. But at this point, I've seen no evidence of that happening here. It certainly did happen significantly in Vancouver, and that's why they moved on it. So at this point, I don't see it as a problem. If it does become a problem and it's forcing people out of their homes and keeping, you know, units empty, then obviously we would look at that to help those individuals in our community.
We covered a lot in the time you allowed us this morning. Thank you for being so candid. Appreciate it, Mayor.
Great. Happy Labor Day.
You as well. Ottawa Mayor Jim Watson joining us. We'll take a break here for news.